we're largely in good shape right now. We've seen consistency for the last 6 months, really. We always talk about our three largest carriers, USPS, FedEx, and UPS. You know, when we talk about USPS, we'd say that for the last 3, 4, 5 months, they've been more consistent and on time than we've seen them in a long time.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. This is episode 165. Brian is out this week, so it's just me again. We just have one news eBay news item this week, and it's about mobile web. We just announced some big changes to the view item experience on mobile web that I think sellers are going to be interested in. One of the changes will include a big link to your store in the About This Seller section of the View Item page. And the other change on mobile web, your seller name, logo, and feedback rating will now appear directly under your listing's title, giving more visibility to your brand and your business. You'll also see your overall seller feedback and your most recent feedback comments displayed more prominently in the About This Seller section. So those are some big changes to mobile web. Mobile web is using the web browser on a mobile phone, whether that's Android or Apple, to view the eBay website. And believe it or not, a lot of buyers use that function as opposed to the app in order to buy on eBay. So these are some really big changes to the way that sellers' details and their listings are exposed on mobile web to buyers. So that's good news. This week we have a few guests with us this week. Coming right up, we're going to talk with Stuart Reichenbach. He's the Senior Director of Shipping. We have our November holiday peak season update, and he also has a little video that he wants to preview and tease. We'll talk to Stuart in a moment. And then, as I mentioned last week, one of the questions I put out to our Facebook group was, how do you track, record, and manage and everything else that you have to do when it comes to inventory, from taking it into your location, how do you receive it, and how do you store it, and how do you track it and keep it in a fashion that you can manage? This question came to me a couple of weeks ago when I was back in my famous garage trying to clean it up. I must have at least 1,500 to 2,000 shirts out there. They're all on hangers, and I got to get them listed. But in the meantime, I started going through buckets and bins that I thought I had recorded and finding inventory that I purchased to list on eBay from 10 years ago. And it was like Christmas in the garage. I am making progress, but it got me to thinking about what would be a better way for me to record this as opposed to, you know, the off and on again Google Sheets or spreadsheet. And so I know that there's a lot of sellers who do this for full time and who have really great ideas about and great systems in place for tracking their inventory. And I wanted to hear from them. So we'll hear from two sellers this week who'll discuss how they track their inventory. We have no questions this week. We're saving those up for next week. I don't know if Rebecca or Brian will be with us. We'll see. But in the meantime, let's get right to the heart of the show with Stuart. We like to stay up to date with everything happening in the world of shipping and the world of eBay. And who better to help us stay informed than our very own Senior Director of Shipping, Stuart Reichenbach. Stuart, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while.
Hey, Griff, how are you? Great to be back, as always.
It's been an interesting year. I think back to the last holiday season, which none of us really want to repeat. How are the carriers performing right now?
Before I get into that question, I want to just recognize our audience and our sellers for all the hard work they do in general, and in particular in the space that we're talking about, in the shipping space. It's a tough one. Last year, boy, we talked a lot last year, was difficult. This year's been a little bit better, quite a bit better, actually, but it's always difficult. And as we head into now another peak season, we know it's going to be challenging. So just thanks to our selling community for everything they do. You know, to answer your question, Griff, we're largely in good shape right now. As we sit here on whatever we are, November 10th, 12th, in that area, we've seen consistency for the last 6 months, really. We always talk about our three largest carriers, USPS, FedEx, and UPS. When we talk about USPS, we'd say that for the last 3, 4, 5 months, they've been more consistent and on time than we've seen them in a long time. And so we're really seeing great things out of them. As they prepare for peak season, they sound and act differently than they really ever have in the past. The Postmaster General put in a new plan. They've added a lot of capacity, operating facilities. I think the number's like 80 operating facilities, new equipment, and a lot more people in the facilities. And they've been talking about peak season and trying to drive really great levels of service throughout peak. So we're happy to see that. They're in a great place, as I said, as we get started or get ready for peak. Of course, we've seen from the post office in the past, though, is challenges in executing during peak. So we're going to keep a close eye on things, but we're really optimistic about what we see. We're optimistic about what they're doing right now and how they're approaching peak season, but we'll keep a real close eye on things. UPS has been very consistent throughout this year. As you know, we added UPS to our platform about a year ago. Our sellers are using their service quite a bit, and we've seen real consistent service from them throughout this year. We expect that to continue as we head into peak as well. FedEx, who's been on our platform also for quite a long time, they've had some challenges over the middle of this year, keeping people in their buildings. Staffing levels got a little bit low, and that impacted their service. Wasn't as high and as consistent as we've seen in the past. They seem to have recovered, though, as we head into peak. The service levels are approaching more what we would expect from FedEx. They're reporting, you know, just in the news and other areas that they're kind of back on track, if you will. So we're expecting hopefully good things out of FedEx as well throughout this peak season. Don't want to paint too optimistic of a picture, Griff, but it doesn't have the same feel as it did last year. Last year, as you know, we were dealing with lots of different issues basically because of COVID, whether it was exceptionally large volumes, e-commerce volumes, whether it was challenges with people being able to work for health reasons, staffing levels being low, international capacity office as postal carriers around the world struggled. Those ingredients aren't really as prevalent this year. We're expecting a big peak season, but maybe some of those outlying factors aren't going to be there. Of course, we're going to keep a real close eye on it, but for now, we're in good shape.
Sellers always want to know what they can do to stay on top of anything that might pop up when it comes to delays during peak holiday shipping time. What are eBay recommendations on adjusting handling time if a seller's worried about late deliveries?
We've been pretty consistent about this question, Griff. It's a good one. Sellers ask us all the time. And I just want to really emphasize, do what you say you're going to do in terms of a handle time. If your handle time's a day, handle in a day. If it's 2 days, handle in 2 days. We don't want you to make changes to your handle time to account for what the carriers might be doing. That's our job. And we do that through our estimated delivery dates. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute here. But don't adjust your handle time unless you can't handle within your stated time. And if you're having your own challenges, then adjust. But otherwise, if you're 1 day, handle in a day, we'll take care of the rest. So what do we do? Right? That's another question. That's kind of the follow-up, right, Griff, that people ask. But what are you going to do for us? This thing called that we call EDDs, which is the estimated delivery dates that we show to buyers. We are all over that. We have a team that works on it daily, obviously, then weekly and monthly. We work with our carriers in ingesting data on what's happening in their networks. We look at the data that we have. We get down to a 5-digit zip code level and making adjustments to the delivery estimate we show to buyers based on all of these different ingredients. We'll continue to do that. We do it throughout the year, and we take an even more active, detailed approach to it here now as we enter peak season. We make those adjustments to the carrier networks at a 5-digit zip level, and that's why we need our sellers to just handle within their stated time. Because if you start adjusting your handle time or what you do, then that's going to disrupt what we're doing.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah, so don't do anything unless, like you said, you're finding that peak is actually causing a strain or stress on your ability to get something out during a short handling time, then extend those handling times to take care of that.
That's totally right. Absolutely right, Rick.
How does eBay monitor delivery performance? I mean, this seems like it's pretty complicated.
So we have really robust tracking from our carriers, and it's more than just the tracking that our buyers or sellers would go on carriers' websites to look at. We're looking at very, very detailed tracking information. We're looking at operational reporting that the carriers supply us as well. We use machine learning and artificial intelligence to interpret a lot of that data and to help us make recommendations on things that we need to do with our delivery estimates. And I'd say we're not just looking at it in today or looking backwards. We're also forward looking at it. We're taking a look at what happened last year in the same period of time, 2 years ago in the same period of time. And so all these different iterations and data go into helping us look into the future and make delivery estimate changes as necessary, hopefully before the events happen. We don't always get it right. And we hear from sellers. We know last year was particularly difficult. It's a difficult business, if you will. But we are all over it in a very, very detailed way. And again, I think if sellers continue to really lean into their handle time and are really effective there, always communicating with their buyers and then listening to us, listening to these podcasts, listening to our SNAs, taking a look at the adjustments we're making, delivery estimates, it's going to be the best formula for buyers.
Yeah. How do I know as a seller that I'm not going to get penalized for a late delivery, even if I ship out on time?
The first thing that we say from a top-rated seller status perspective, as long as you handle on time, you qualify. You don't get dinged for that. Even if the shipment arrives late, if you've handled on time, you're in good shape. We're going to continue to do that, obviously, through this peak season. I want sellers to remember what we did last year. When we saw things really waning from a delivery perspective, we put additional and further protections in place. You start thinking about INRs and other things like that. We're not going to leave our sellers sitting out there on their own. We're going to work with sellers to do the things that are right based on what's happening in the network. Get your handle time nailed, get your product into your carrier of choice, get your acceptance scanned, and then we'll continue to monitor as we see the networks evolving. You know, one of the things, Griff, that we saw last year, particularly with the post office, was this whole long deliveries. Hey, I shipped on the 1st and it didn't get delivered till the 20th. Right. We call that the long tail, really late deliveries. This was a result, really, I think, of the challenges that the post office in particular had last year. The network just got so full. They weren't operating on a first in, first out basis. It almost got to be the last in, first out. They've made some real commitments to not allow that to happen this year. Again, they need to execute against it. We're aware of it. We're going to keep a close eye on it. And if those things pop up again, we'll do the right thing with sellers.
Stuart, when it comes to international shipping, I've heard a lot of sellers say they're concerned about, well, international shipping in general, given what happened last year. It sounds like it's still maybe a little bit challenging. Should sellers not worry about this? Should they continue to offer their products to international buyers?
I would say don't worry and absolutely continue to offer your listings to international buyers. The international space last year got messy, particularly with the post office deliveries. And that wasn't just the USPS. I mean, our post office had some real challenges in the export space, but it was also compounded by what was happening with other postal operators around the world, whether it was the French Post or Royal Mail, right? They also had challenges that were related to COVID. We don't see that this year at all. So I think our sellers can confidently ship internationally this year. Here's the other thing I want to remind people about. The post office is just one way to ship internationally. We have two amazing products on our platform, eBay International Standard Delivery and our Global Shipping Program, which eBay runs and manages with private carriers. And those two services last year were largely immune from many of the challenges we saw with the post office. So as you're thinking about shipping this year, take a look at eBay International Standard Delivery. I think you're going to find that the time and transits are as competitive, if not faster. I can tell you for sure that the cost of that label is lower than a post office label. It's easy to inject to get it into the postal carrier network. And we offer $100 of protection on that product. It's performing pretty well, 95% on-time service levels. Take a look at eBay International Standard Delivery.
Is International Standard Delivery, are the postal costs sort of in line with the Global Shipping Program? Is one a better deal than the other?
eBay International Standard Delivery is a comparable product to a postal product.
Oh, I see.
It's what we call a delivered duty unpaid service. And it's on-time performance that was better than the post office because we don't necessarily use the post office all the time. We're using other carriers. Now, how does that compare to the Global Shipping Program? The Global Shipping Program is what's called a delivered duty paid solution. Your buyers internationally would be paying applicable duty and tax up front. It also has what I'll just say, more bells and whistles to it. It's not as cost-effective as eBay International Standard Delivery. It takes away all the worries. If you're worried about anything shipping internationally, you can use the Global Shipping Program. EISD is a wonderful program that takes great care of you as well. We can get into another podcast that there's specific differences between the two.
Sure.
People get a little tripped up on it. But I would say if you're not in the Global Shipping Program, just look at the eBay International Standard Delivery product. Wonderful product, cost-effective, with great acceptance scans and really solid delivery confirmation scans. Everything you need for your buyers.
What kind of coverage do I get if I use this as a seller? I know that, you know, with Global Shipping Program, I'm pretty much covered, right? All the way to delivery. What's it like with the eBay International Standard Delivery?
It's basically similar. So we offer $100 of insurance protection included in the shipment for loss or damage right up front. And then we also protect you by removing any negative and neutral feedback when things happen that aren't supposed to happen. Griff, this is a product that we built that we're incredibly proud of. It's eBay in the supply chain space, working with private partners, companies around the world to make this happen. And it works really, really well. Like I said, our on-time rates are incredibly high. The transit times are very competitive, and the costs are even lower than if you bought something at the post office. On top of all the protections we just talked about. Yeah. Please take a good look at it, sellers. It's a wonderful product.
Stuart, I hear that you brought along a few seller tips for us to hear.
We have. As we started thinking about how we wanted to talk with our community and inform sellers, we said, hey, what would be a better way than to have sellers talk to sellers? It's such a great close network. And so, yeah, we went out and we talked with some sellers, put together a video that's going to be out next week called Oh Ship.
Really? Huh? Oh Ship?
Yeah, how about that? Oh, ship.
Oh, yeah,
we,
I like it.
As we enter peak season. But it's tips from sellers on what they do during peak season to help enable great delivery.
Well, we have a little bit of them here. Let's play them and listen to some of them.
Awesome.
Oh, ship.
Oh, ship.
Oh, ship. Oh, ship.
Historically, fourth quarter, October, November, December, are like the biggest time of the year for eBay sellers. And you need to be ready.
So the holiday season is among us, and that means you're going to probably have a little bit more eBay sales than usual, but there's also going to be a lot more packages being shipped all across the world.
I have a wonderful group of mail carriers around me that I have great relationships with. And so like if something is going to be arriving late, I'm usually able to let them know that that item will arrive late.
Another way I think you could prepare for the holiday season is to maybe package your items a bit more securely than normal. When USPS and UPS and FedEx get backed up, they may not have enough time to handle your package with the utmost care. So maybe add a little bit of extra packing paper or some bubble wrap to your fragile items and kind of expect them to get tossed around a little bit before they make it to their destination.
Make sure that you're really stocked up on your supplies. There was a few times the previous year where I ran out of supplies, and because I didn't have those supplies available, it made the shipping costs be a lot higher.
When you get into Q4, which starts in October, making sure that you ship as fast as you can is definitely important, because with the volume increasing for all of the shipping carriers, the shipping does become slower. So you want to make sure you ship as soon as you possibly can.
For each gift or holiday item, you want to make sure that listing ends 10 days before the holiday. That way, the shipping carrier has enough time to deliver that item despite delays.
Expect delays, package your stuff a little bit more securely than you do usually, and make sure you have enough shipping supplies on hand.
You're going to have to do more shipping, which is a great thing. That means you're selling more things. But just don't get yourself stressed out by not planning accordingly.
Well, that was great. That was just a little tease about what the entire video is like. Where can we find that video? Is it on YouTube?
It'll be out on YouTube. It'll be on our Seller Center and coming out this week.
Great. I'll put the link to the video and to the Seller Center page in our transcript for episode 165 so that you can go check it out. You may recognize a few of the sellers. Who knows?
Absolutely right. Yeah. Hey, Griff, before we break here, I wanted to talk to the sellers a little bit more about. We always get these questions about, hey, is it USPS? Is it UPS? Is it FedEx? We have these three different carriers on our labels platform. And during peak season, at any time of the year, if you buy a label from us, there's no cap on the number of labels you can buy. Mm. You know, our sellers are hearing about capacity shortages and carriers not offering their customers the amount of capacity they do during the year. You don't have that when you buy a label on our labels platform. So I want people to really take a hard look at the eBay labels platform and take a look at all three carriers. As you think about your business, there's this equation between service and cost. And as I said before, we're seeing really good service with UPS. FedEx is coming back to their normal levels. The post office, as everyone knows, put in place some peak season surcharges. And on their priority mail product now, what we're seeing is lower cost with UPS and FedEx during peak than priority mail. I just want people to be aware of that, right? As you start balancing this trade-off of cost versus service, take a real hard look because it looks different. People will say to us, well, you know, the post office offers a pickup service at home or the post office is closer. UPS and FedEx also have great drop locations. So we just want everyone to take a hard look. We're going to continue to inform as we get into peak. If we're seeing real disruptions with one network versus another, we're going to be very direct in telling our sellers about it. Ultimately, their choice to take a look at the great choices that we have. And some of those choices have changed during peak. So just want them to really take a hard study at it.
Yeah, I've seen during the print label flow some real cost competitiveness between the three carriers. And I used to be exclusively USPS, and now I've got a few UPS ground in there, and they're delivering pretty quickly and sometimes at a better value. So you really do have to pay attention. It can depend on where you are, how much the package weighs, how big it is, and where your buyer is located. But yeah, it's been an education this last year, learning about other two carriers.
And Griff, that's absolutely right. I mean, when we look at, you get into, the longer zones and a little bit heavier weights over 5 pounds, you're going to see that UPS and FedEx are really cost competitive with the priority mail product and service very consistent.
Well, Stuart, I want to thank you so much. It's always great talking to you. This was really, I think for the seller, I'd have to say it's a relief to know that we're on top of this. I know sellers will feel the same. We'll hear from you again, though. This won't be the last update for the holiday season for 2021.
We absolutely will. We'll be back. I think we have some schedule time, but Griff, I think we should be committed to, if things change quickly here with peak season, we'll get back on to talk with our sellers. We feel like we're in a good place right now. We're entering peak. As things change, we're going to really be proactive about talking to our community about it.
So we'll definitely talk to you scheduled in December. If something comes up, we'll get you on before that.
Love it.
Stuart, thanks again.
Griff, thank you.
Stuart Reichenbach is Senior Director of the Shipping Team here at eBay. This is our November holiday season shipping update. Stuart will be back in December with a December shipping update. As I said last week, we were going to talk this week with a few sellers and find out how they track their inventory, what they do when they get it in, how do they record it, how do they store it, how do they access it when it sells. Everyone has a different system. I know that myself, I sell mostly one-of-a-kind stuff, so it's not that easy recording and tracking and storing it, but every seller has a different method of doing it. I thought we might learn something by talking to a couple sellers today, and right now we're talking to Ray Wayman. Ray, what's your user ID?
It's National Duty Supply.
And I'll put that link in our transcript so people can check out your store. So what do you sell?
I sell police and first responder duty gear and collectible novelties.
And how do you acquire your inventory? You don't have to give us your sources, by the way.
Well, of course. My main supplier of my leather gear is a small company in Maine. And so fortunately, I don't have to deal with supply chain issues. Some stuff I have manufactured overseas that I've designed myself. But I try to use as many U.S. suppliers as I can.
Yeah, and that's proven to be a wise move in the last year, I suppose, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah, we don't know when those ships are going to all be docked and unloaded in those different ports, but fingers crossed.
Right. So. We don't know when our ship's coming in.
Right. It's what keeps us alive. So here we are. We're getting inventory into our store. How does your inventory arrive? But I assume it arrives all by mail.
I usually get a UPS delivery or FedEx or U.S. Post Office, some stuff, but mainly UPS or FedEx. So it arrives at my house. I work out of my basement. I get the inventory in, and then I match it up with whatever I ordered to make sure that I received everything. And then I use this fantastic program that I found on the App Store and Google, Google Play, I guess is the right word, called Barcodery. It's a simple little program that has all the fields. You can put in as many fields as you want. So I have a product ID field, and on that product ID field, I make a barcode and I have cost of goods in there and how many I have and how many I need to keep on hand. So it sends me alerts. Who is my supplier and when did I get it in and when did I take it out? So I have 1,800 SKUs.
Wow.
I get the inventory in. I scan it with a scanner. I made this handy dandy little scanner.
Oh, he's showing it to me now on Zoom here. I see it. Yeah. It looks like a phaser.
Yeah. Well, it's a DS2278 scanner.
Okay.
And I attached a Samsung Motorola G phone. It's an Android app only. So I attached the two together with Velcro. So then when I get my items in, I can scan the barcode on the bin and say I've entered 10 of them or 15 or however many. And then every time I sell one, I scan the barcode of the bin and I take one out and I debit the inventory.
Oh, this is fantastic.
It's a simple in and out. And you can, you know, have 1,000 items or you can have one item. And you can say it's in row 5, bin 3.
Sure.
Or you can say it's, you know, across town at the storage unit or wherever. So you know where that item is. And you have a record of every time you entered the inventory, the date and time. And you have a record of every time you took one out. So even if you have one item, you're selling one-of-a-kind items. I don't. I sell, you know, over and over again, new items. But if you have a one-of-a-kind item, like a Tiffany lamp, and you put it in your inventory, you know where that item is, and you scanned it out a month ago because you sold it on eBay. If you sell it again, you can look at your record and say, oh, wait a minute, I sold this last month. Or you can compare your inventory to what you have listed and say, oh, yeah, I have 3 widgets listed. And yes, I still have 3 in my inventory.
Do you create your own barcodes?
Yes. So with this program, you can create numbers, letters, any sort of, I use a 13, there's different kinds of barcodes, but the one I use is called a code 13. So it's 13 characters. So it can have letters, numbers, dashes, however I set it up. And then I can scan that barcode that's on the bin and know every time in and out. So at any time I can look at a report and say, oh, I know how many of these I have. I know how much my value is of my inventory. And I know where it all is.
So when you have this tool and you create a barcode, you have to print that out on something, right? So you can paste it on a bin or...
Right. So I just use a Dymo label printer with small labels. And so right in the program, you can generate PDF with all of your labels and have it print to your label printer.
Sure, yeah.
And a barcode comes up and you stick it on your bin.
Oh, I am so tempted. I really would. So I have an Apple phone now, but I also have an old Samsung phone that I could fire up and use for Wi-Fi because I don't have to be connected right to the internet.
Exactly what I do because it only works on an Android device. So I bought a separate Android device and I use it exactly that way. It's not activated or anything. It just uses Wi-Fi in my house. It scans everything in and out as I'm pulling orders and then I sync it with the database that's online. And then I know from any computer, I can look at it and say, oh, I have 5 of these widgets left.
It not only tracks your inventory, it tracks your sales as well.
You could theoretically, because it doesn't integrate with any program.
Yeah.
It's just a standalone program.
Sure.
And so it's about $300 a year for the unlimited program. You can have as many SKUs as you want. You could put your cost of goods for each item, how much you paid for it, so you know the value of your inventory. However, it doesn't keep track of the value of the sales.
Oh, I see. Right.
Unless you manually wanted to put it in. I mean, you could manually make a field for it and say, I sold this for $17.
Right. Type it in for each sale.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's so highly customizable to work for you.
Well, this sounds really cool. I'm going to have to check this out. I hadn't thought that one of the recommendations a seller might make would be one that I'd be curious about. I'm definitely going to look at this because I'm in the middle of redoing my entire inventory, and this could be very helpful.
Right. It really helps keep track of what you have on hand, whether it's 15 or 20 of one item, or you have separate items that you acquired at, you know, a yard sale or at the bins at Goodwill or wherever. It's very customizable to your specific needs.
Well, Ray, I want to thank you very much. This is great information. Thank you for calling in with it. And may we have you back on the show in the future.
Oh, I'd love to anytime.
Okay.
I have a lot of things to share, Greg.
Well, then you're going to share them with us and you're going to be a regular.
But so the website for this inventory program I use is barcodery.com.
And we will put that link in the transcript for the episode 165 so that you can check it out yourself. Ray, thanks so much.
Thanks, Chris. Good to talk to you.
And joining us now to talk about how she tracks her inventory, records it, stores it, accepts it, and all that is eBay seller Babette. Hey, Babette, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Your phone sounds a little old. What kind of phone is that?
Well, we tried to start this meeting on a brand new state-of-the-art cell phone, and that didn't work, so I'm on my 1970s Snoopy phone that I bought on eBay. It was actually one of my first purchases maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, they come in handy, the 70s, don't they?
Yep. When I started selling on eBay, I was in my 30s, and now I'm a grandma, so I'm more familiar with that technology.
Well, it never leaves us. I'm sure that if we're faced with a rotary phone, we know exactly how to use it.
Yeah.
How long have you been selling on eBay?
I think 21 years last week.
That's a long time.
I know.
And what do you sell?
I sell supplies to glass artists, people who do stained glass or glass fusing, glass blowing.
How did you get started in that?
Well, I adopted a little boy from Korea. And I was waiting for him to come home, and I needed to use up some nervous energy. And I started doing stained glass, and I enjoyed that, and I wanted to buy things at wholesale. And so I took $1,000, and because that was the minimum for wholesale, and bought those first few items. And the ones that I wasn't using right away, I sold on eBay, and then I took those profits and rolled it in to the next order, and here we are 21 years later.
How big is your business in inventory? How much inventory do you keep on hand?
I'm completely home-based, and so I'm limited to what I can fit in about 800 square feet. And I think I told you how many different SKUs I have. I think it's a little over 5,000 now.
Wow. That's a lot of inventory.
It is.
How do you accept? Do you get your inventory? Is it all shipped to you then?
Well, one of the biggest distributors of art glass supplies is actually in Denver, which is about a 100-mile round trip for me. They are my biggest distributor, and then the other store stock I get in is freight from different vendors.
So you make regular trips to Denver then?
I do.
And once you get all this inventory, how do you keep track of it? How do you keep it organized? How do you keep it recorded?
I use a couple of things that are very helpful for productivity. You know, I do this all by myself, and I send and receive about 700 items every week. That's a lot of stuff coming and going. And I was at an eBay conference, an eBay live event. I think it was the last one in Las Vegas, and I met up with one of your vendors, this Sellbrite organization. And I decided, I kind of went into it reluctantly because I was doing pretty well with my paper and memory at the time.
No comment.
But yeah. But I signed up with Sellbrite, and it's just been a game changer for me. It's a great tool for productivity. I figure it saves me about 10 hours a week just doing the kind of tasks that we do every day in e-commerce.
How does it work for you? So let's say you've just got a bunch of inventory in. What's the first thing you do using Sellbrite?
So I have my vendors send me an electronic copy of all of my sales receipts. And I don't quite have it in to the point where I can just merge the two and have it put in that inventory automatically, which I wish I did. So I have two screens up, and I grab the stock number from the inventory receipt, and I pop that number into Sellbrite, and then I just put in the new quantity and push send and go on to the next one. Like yesterday, I checked in probably 100 items on a sales receipt, and I did that in probably 60 minutes or less. And if I were opening each individual eBay listing, adding back in the quantity and relisting or just reactivating, it would have taken me a lot longer than that.
So you can get the inventory recorded pretty quickly, even though you still have to do some work. I'd be working with my suppliers and telling them I need them in this format.
Yeah. And, you know, they probably could do that, except it takes out just kind of the human factor for me. Like, I might sell the same item in a pack of one or a pack of three or a pack of six. If I get in 30, I need to be able to split those into the different sizes or quantities that I sell.
That makes sense. Okay, so once you've got the inventory recorded, how do you keep, where do you keep it all, and how do you keep track of where something is when you need to go and pick it to pack and ship?
Well, I'm not a technical person in general, so the thing that made the most sense to me was to set up my store, which it is, it's a store, even though people buy virtually, just like a store. I have sections like you would have in a grocery store. You know, I have all of my stained glass supplies are on one wall. Then my center aisle is for fusing supplies. And so everything is set up like that, you know, just like if you were shopping at a regular store.
Uh-huh.
And then the items that I manufacture, my manufacture elements that people use in glass fusing, mostly geometric shapes. And I just keep those in bin after bin after bin. You know, they're just those little parts drawers like your grandpa probably had that he stored his screws in. You know what I'm talking about.
Or like what's in my garage right now.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I probably have 20 of those that are full of these little glass parts.
Do you want to share your user ID so people can check out your store?
Okay, so it's Rocky_Mountain_Glass_Craft.
And I'll put a link to that in our transcript so you can check out Babette's store and maybe you could get into stained glass. So before we go, I just want to go back to Sellbrite for a minute so our audience gets a better picture of it. Could tell us a little bit more about the software and how it works.
One thing that about the software that's very, I don't know, beneficial to me, I guess you would say, is just the inventory management side of Sellbrite. The first thing I do in the morning is I get up and I sign into Sellbrite and I can see how many orders I have to go out that day. I can see if there's any eBay messages that came over overnight, and I can answer those right from the Sellbrite page. And I kind of do real-time stock management, which is really important when things are coming and going all the time. You know, we talked earlier, I said I might sell something in a group of three and then a group of one. Well, if I run out of the one, I can take three out of the three pile in just a couple of seconds and add it back into the one pile and instant inventory updating. I can click on an item and I can tell when I got it, where I got it, and what I paid. Those are all really important things. You know, if you have a slow-moving product and you want to adjust the price, it's really nice to know how much you paid for it to see. You know, if you're a free shipping seller and the postage rates go up, you know, it's kind of difficult to go into all of your listings and do a 30-cent increase or whatever. And on Sellbrite, when that happens, I might just have them add a half a percentage or a percentage to all of my prices and just do a universal price change. And so I can do that in just a couple of clicks. And when you have over 1,000 listings, that's really beneficial. When I go to order, I can search by vendor. And I have probably 10 different vendors, so it's really nice to be able to see where I'm low stock at a certain vendor all in one page. So I use it for that. I looked it up. I don't work for Sellbrite, but I do love it. I mean, to me, it's a virtual assistant. I would rather have this software than have an employee doing these things. But I looked it up today, and it looks like Sellbrite is free if you have a certain number of orders, 30 orders a month or less.
At least for a trial period, it might work for a lot of our sellers to see if it's going to work for them in a bigger scale.
Right.
We'll put a link to Sellbrite's website, so if you're interested in checking out their product and see if it will work for you as well as it works for Babette, this could be the opportunity. Babette, I want to thank you so much for answering our call and calling in.
Oh, you're very welcome. Nice to hear from you.
That's our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. I think I learned a few things. I hope you did too. I'm really curious about that barcode thing. I think I'm going to explore that option. If you have an inventory system that you think other sellers would like to hear about, why not call us at 888-723-4630, or you can email us at podcast@ebay.com, 888-723-4630, or podcast@ebay.com, and you can call that hotline or send an email to that email address any time of day, any day of the week. Leave a question or a comment on the voice line, and who knows, we might just put it on the air, or even better, put you on the air. Now, don't forget your daily podcast to-do list. We do this every week. Number one, check the announcement board always every morning for up-to-date seller news. Start hanging out in the eBay community. You'll find a lot of great sellers there, and they share their knowledge and wisdom with each other. And check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode. We'd like to thank our guests this week, eBay Senior Director of Shipping, Stuart Reichenbach, sellers Ray Waymond and Babette Ogawa. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.